welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 364 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good buddy Sean Orford. You alright, Sean?
I'm cool. Are you good?
I'm good. Take two. Yeah, we tried. I tried doing it in the garden recording this, but the Wi-Fi didn't like it. Unless it was your end. You never know.
I mean, my Wi-Fi didn't like you being in the garden.
Yeah, maybe. You've been out on your little your 5K run this morning. You feeling good?
Yeah, I did a 5K. So doing 5Ks Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And bike rides in between.
So. Indeed. Yeah. I can't believe you're whizzing along on your e-bike and you've got your poor wife struggling along on an old-fashioned, analog, non-powered bicycle. Beautiful
bike. The thing is, is a bike a form of exercise or is it a form of transport? And like my bike is a form of transport. It takes an effort. I don't have to put the power on. I can turn the power off. But when it comes to the hill, I can just click the power on, off I go. I'm fat.
Don't get me started on that question. I could do a whole podcast series on that, and I probably should do actually.
You need an electric bike.
I do. I would like to try one. I've got my eye on one actually, but soon, not yet. But car replacement perhaps. But all good. We're talking about truth, aren't we, today? Which leads us on to authenticity. We'll come on to that in a bit. liveinthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links as ever. And Sean will have a blog post ready to go as well. What have you been up to, Sean? Is life pretty crazy for you still?
I keep thinking it's going to kind of cool down a bit, slow down a bit. But it is, I have more and more people coming in at the moment. And there is a lot of stress, pressure around. I'm doing a bit of couples work at the moment as well, because quite a few couples are really feeling it and being in lockdown together and having to deal with that. Tough times all around, really.
Yeah, I know. We're in a funny place, aren't we, in the UK? We're kind of the end, or some people seem to think that the end is in sight, really, with I think all retail outlets can open from 3 weeks from now, June the 15th. But it's not going to be the same world that we kind of come out of our shells back into, is it, from my thinking?
Well, I see two sets of people. I see the people that are going to be terrified to do anything, maybe until next year or until there's a vaccine, and the people that want to just rush down the pub now and get absolutely hammered, and forget it. The likelihood is that as soon as we lift this lockdown, there's going to be some kind of spike going on. How big that is, I don't know, but it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you see other countries that have dealt with it differently and have got different, populations and all that kind of stuff. Like, is it New Zealand? Incredible, man. I mean, I don't think they've got any cases in the country anymore of the virus.
But the problem with that is that most places that are like that is because they shut down everything. And it doesn't mean that their immunity issues are any different. As soon as things open up again, if there's not a vaccine, as soon as people open their borders, then the virus is going to come wandering through, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there is no escape from this other than we have an effective vaccine, really.
I know. Blimey. It would be good maybe if people in positions of power were a bit more honest about that. The scientific side is quite clear, and I think that has been explained, but... that's what's led us on to talking about truth, because there's a certain new story which is I've done quite well. I've kind of stayed clear of it, and I've been quite zen about it, but I think it's tickled you a bit, hasn't it, and got you a bit wound up.
The thing for me is that because of what I do, I have to understand what's going on in the news, because people tell me about it, or they use it as kind of metaphors for their life, or they're kind of reflecting against it. So that the issues with Dominic Cummings doing something that appears to be against the rules that he set up, but then everybody's saying that it was okay for him to do that, but would it be okay for other people to do that? So that kind of stuff. So the issues about truth, lies, honesty become in the fore, So a lot of people are saying, this guy is a total liar. And then there's another lot of people that are saying, no, he just did what was right. You know, he did his truth. He was honest about his truth. You know, let's get over it and move on. And people say, no, we can't move on, because now how can we tell that the government's telling us any truth at all? You know, so like this idea about what is the truth fascinates me completely, both philosophically, psychologically, emotionally, and in this case, politically. You know, what is the truth?
Well, truth is most often used to mean being in accord with fact or reality, or fidelity to an original or standard. Truth is also sometimes defined in modern contexts as an idea of truth to self, or, and this is the important word that I picked up on, authenticity. So yeah, I mean, originally your idea was to talk about truth, but I was looking at some articles online to kind of stimulate some conversation. This word authenticity kept cropping up. What is truth to you, Sean?
Truth is a movable feast. And it's like I've sat in rooms. I can remember sitting in rooms with Buddhists, Jains, Christians, Jews, Muslims, all talking about God. Now, all of them disagreed with each other, but all of them were telling their truth as they saw it. Now, so in situations, is there an absolute truth? I guess if you look at things like gravity, you could say that there's a truth in gravity, and it doesn't matter what you believe. If you jump off the top of the building, you hit the ground. That's a truth, yeah? But so many other things are variable. Say there was an accident and 12 people witnessed the accident, and then we took their statements, it'd all be different because they all saw it from a different angle and interpreted it in different ways, but it would be their truth. Who's true? Who's right?
Yeah. Well, exactly. And you use that. I mean, yeah, this is my road safety hat on here, but I'm assuming you're talking about some kind of car or road smash. And to call it an accident is not the truth, is it? Because there's some kind of semblance of responsibility, and to call it an accident is untruthful, isn't it? Because someone was.
How are you defining the word accident?
Well, in a car crash, the police aren't allowed or aren't recommended to use the word accident anymore, and that's come through years of campaigning from road safety people and families that have lost people in smashes and collisions. Collisions is the word you're supposed to use now, because it's very.
So if it's an accident, there's no culpability.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
And there's always culpability in a road traffic collision, whether it's manufacturer or, you know, someone, yeah.
Wasn't road design.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, road design, big time. Quite often the case, actually.
Yeah. Mm. So that's interesting. So accidents don't happen. Because, I suppose if you're cutting up nuts and you slip and you cut your finger, that's not an accident. You weren't paying attention.
Yeah. Is there such a thing as an accident? Is an accident even possible in the world?
I don't know. You're making me question this, Dad. Is there a truth in the word accident?
Yeah. No. I mean, I feel quite passionate about this stuff, and a lot of other people do, and I've been to it. There's a charity called Road Peace, which deals with bereaved families that have lost people in collisions, crashes on our road.
Not accident. So RTA, road traffic accident, they don't use that anymore.
No, RTC, collision.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Spread the word. Crash, not accident. Right. Hashtag. So even to call it an accident is like a sign, is a little mistruth in some ways, isn't it? I mean, moving on to like authenticity. Are we good at being authentic, or what are the barriers to stop us to be authentic? And I'm thinking about, you know, in this modern world of social media, and I'm guilty of this too, that the social media version of myself isn't necessarily the same version of me that exists, you know, in this house, in my home. Like my little, you might not know, but my little boy Jacob's been sick downstairs because he's woken up with a bit of a tummy bug. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't quite fit in with the, hi, I'm feeling fine, all's good in my life, kind of podcast world. So what stops us from being authentic?
I think it's what you're just saying there. It's our need to appear in a certain way to other people. And that, you know, the joke that we have about fine, you know, so, you know, how are you doing? I'm fine. What does fine stand for? Effing insincere with no emotion, because I'm not actually telling you the truth. What I actually feel like is, I'm not going to tell you that.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what about if, it is the classic, you know, your partner comes down and says, what does my bottom look like in this? Now, how truthful are you going to, how authentic are you going to be? Are you going to say, it looks lovely, darling, you look very curvaceous? Or are you going to say, your bum looks so big and it's going to blot out the sun? You know, I mean, like, what do you say relative to what you think, what you feel, what you think the person needs to hear? You know, how authentic are you?
Yeah.
And I think in that sense, the majority of people spend a lot of time lying, not as an active lying. We'd say white lies, saying a white lie. So how are you today? Oh, no, I'm really good. And actually, their life's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they tell the white lie.
Well, you must get that in the consulting room, because you'll welcome people to your home there and they'll come through your front door and you'll say, how are you doing? And they'll say, oh, I'm good, thanks. And then they'll come through that door right in front of you and they'll sit down on that sofa and they'll start, yeah, blubbering like babies. So,
yeah, it's the relative thing. The other thing that I get a lot, and especially at the moment, is building the couples issues with lockdown. And when you listen to each person's story of what's happened, and because I always see people separately and then I see them together, but the version, so you get version one and that's their truth, and you think, oh, that other person's awful. And then you listen to the other person, you hear their truth, and you think, ah, what a poor person, how they've suffered, you know. And it's like, it's a relative truth.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you try and bring those two truths together then? What's the trick?
Well, the trick is that if the two people can do things like compromise, can forgive, can bend, can understand, can communicate, they've got a chance of putting them together. If they can't do those things, it doesn't work. You know, if my truth is this, you know, ah, oh, but you said, I didn't mean that. Oh, but you said, but I didn't mean that when I used that word. Yeah, but that word means, you know, if that's my truth, I can't get anywhere. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. Human beings are just endlessly fascinating, aren't we?
Mm. Yeah, and all a bunch of liars.
There's a load of cool blog posts I'm going to link to with full of fascinating quotes. We are constantly balancing inner and outer aspects of ourselves in order to better fit in, to become more successful, or to find love. We are driven to find our place in society, and we want to be respected for who we truly are and what we have to contribute. So thinking about that one, yeah, we do. I mean, I'm guilty of it, I'm sure, of acting a certain way to fit in, but truly successful people that we see, you know, in TED Talks or online or on the front of, not on the front of newspapers necessarily, because that's not always the best people in society. But the people we look up to, I've got a row of books here in front of me, actually. Danny Boyle, film director, Elon Musk, Johnny Herbert, F1 driver. Who else we got going on? I've got Steve Jobs up there, Stephen Fry. They're all quite good, these high profile people, of being authentic, and they've made a career and a living from being like true to themselves and not, you know, not giving a crap what anyone else says. So
there's a huge but in that. It's like you're assuming that the thing that they present you is their authentic version of themselves, as opposed to a tailored doctored version of themselves that fits with the message that they're trying to give, or they're trying to sell their book or whatever they're doing. It doesn't follow that it is actually the real, true, authentic self.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's one of those things that it's the real kind of mind game that goes on. How do we know that what people are saying is truthful? You know, and it may be so diametrically opposed to the way that we see things, but is it their truth? Is it any more true than our truth? Because we all think we're right. I'm right and you're wrong. We all know that, don't we?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stephen Fry, you know, he's obviously spoken at length of his struggles on and off stage, and you know, he's battled with depression his whole life, I think. But I think it's only, you know, in recent-ish years that he's found the courage to talk about it. So it's maybe there's an aspect of this authenticity that you've got to give yourself time, you know, a 40, 50-year timeline of working towards being able to let people know what's really going on.
But the thing is, and I think this is a really powerful point, is that I can be truthful to myself. I can be honest to myself and have my own truth in here. But that doesn't necessarily reflect the truth that I put out there. And it's a bit like if someone has a lack of social skills and they meet you and you've got wonky teeth and they say to you, bloody hell, your teeth are wonky. Didn't you ever think of going to the dentist? Now, they're actually giving their authentic experience of you. Now, is that a nice thing to do? Because lots of people would have looked at your, I'm not talking about your teeth, but lots of people may have looked at someone's teeth and thought, bloody hell, they've got terrible teeth, but they wouldn't say it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, you meet someone whose armpits are a bit fruity, do you go, whoa, blimey, you're really whiffy? You know, or do you just kind of move aside and think, oh, okay.
Oh, I know when lockdown comes to an end and we're allowed out a bit more, there's going to be a lot of funny haircuts going around. I mean, I've cut my own hair for the second time yesterday. So it's
quite good. How did you do the sides?
Well, it was a team effort. So Bethan did the back and the sides with some clippers, this is number four. And I've been doing the top. I bought some thinning scissors and some proper barber scissors, or cheap version anyway. So it's quite a good Zoom haircut, I think, because it looks all right from here, I would say. But
you've been caught in an air raid.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the bit of a step there. See, there's a line.
Yeah, I thought that was design.
Well, it's quite trendy actually at the moment, so I'm kind of trying to pretend that I've given myself a, you know, 50 quid haircut. But I mean, if I was being truthful, or if someone was really being honest, you know, when this ends and I haven't been to the barbers yet, what will they say about my hair?
The magic thing about hair is it grows again.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Doesn't matter what you do to it, it will grow again.
I'm quite fortunate that I'm not lacking in the hair department. I've got really
thick
load of hair. So yeah, fair play. But it does need a little bit of work. And thankfully, Bethan's been quite nice about it, and it's the same with Will. I cut Will's hair yesterday and he's got the same line, like a bowl around the sides and the back, but he looks good.
You didn't have to use a bowl, did you?
No, to think about it though. So with your clients then, is the ultimate goal authenticity for people you work with, do you think, and for all of us?
Yeah.
Is this one of the core aspects?
Because I think that the issue is this. It is that if you are honest to yourself and with yourself, so that you're living the best version of you can be and that kind of stuff, you know, the key thing for me, my teacher used to say to me back along, when you're honest, there's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide, because it takes such an effort to be dishonest. I mean, liars, I mean, God, what an effort it is to be a liar, you know, and you have to have a really good memory to be a liar and all that kind of stuff. And it takes so much effort. It's so much easier just to be honest. Why get into lying? You know? And I think that when you're in that state where you are being honest to yourself, you are telling a truth, then you're in a position where you feel relaxed, you feel calm. You don't have all the stresses and the problems. And I'm sure a lot of depression and anxiety is about people being dishonest with themselves. You know, not facing up to things, not dealing with stuff. Yeah, that's okay. That's fine. Yeah, it's all right. No, it's not. You know, but unless you face up to it and you're honest with yourself, then all you get in the end is just negative self-feedback and stuff.
Yeah, if I remember, I'll dig out the link. But again, it comes back to the top five regrets of the dying article that is so heavily referenced in our podcast, or has been over the years.
Yeah.
I don't think honesty is kind of mentioned as one of those top five regrets, but it's in all of them in one way or another, in one form or another.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. that I wasn't straight with myself, I wasn't straight with other people.
Yeah.
You know, there's things that I did that I wish and I hadn't done, you know, things that I didn't do that I know I should have done. Yeah. You know, all those are levels of personal dishonesty. I'm not working positively with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It's like regret is usually about I've acted in some way inauthentically to myself, as I wouldn't regret it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that really seems to have peed people off about Dominic Cummings is that when he was interrogated about his behaviours, he didn't show any regret. Now, the thing is, if he was being authentic to himself in what he did, then he wouldn't really have any regret, would he?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? And it's that hard thing about understanding the authenticity, the truth, the honesty about where anybody is. And realizing that most people, when they say things instinctively very often, are just sharing their own truth. That's the way they see it. That's the way it is. You know, we might disagree with that. And we might say, no, we are right. You know, there are things like gravity. I mean, do you believe that the Earth is flat or round?
I would go with the round.
Yeah,
theory.
Well, I know people who still believe, really seriously, still believe that the Earth is flat.
Yep.
And that the round pictures of the Earth are all a conspiracy by NASA. No? That's their truth.
I've had a very good in-depth conversation once with a flat earther, as they're called. I was on a stag do years ago in a bar in, I think it was Marbella or somewhere near there anyway, on the south coast of Spain. And I think he kind of set me up really, because we were sat looking out to sea having a drink. And I'd only just met this guy the day before, but he was a nice fella. And he made this remark about how the horizon was so beautiful and it was perfectly flat. And I don't know if he got lucky, because I was someone who was kind of ready to come back with, well, you know, there's a slight curve to it. And then we went off on this like 3-4 hour, very polite discussion about Earth and whether it's flat or not. And he kind of set me up, obviously, with this initial question, and I fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And had this mad about.
But how did the conversation end, though?
I think we kind of agreed to disagree, but he'd taken it really far. He'd been and done his own measurements on. He'd been up to some high point in the north of England, up a tower, and taken a measurement, and then gone to that horizon point where he could see, and done all the, worked out all the angles, and said it was impossible, and it's flat. I'm telling you. Maybe he's right, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not having that one.
Yeah. But then it's like the truth, you know. It's like the thing. I've never been to New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand, but I believe it's true that it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. And they've had a very good coronavirus control strategy. It must be true.
Until they open their borders, and then unless there's a vaccine. Mm. What about the fact that there were people that said that they never landed on the moon? All conspiracy, and people will say it's to do with the shadows you can see, the fact that the flag appeared to be flapping in the wind rather than hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was going on? I personally suspect that they did go to the moon, but I have no way of knowing that that's the truth.
Yep.
You know, how do I know it?
I know, yeah. Be careful, listeners. Yeah, don't disappear down that rabbit hole on YouTube of conspiracy theories and the 9/11 conspiracy theories. That's quite a fascinating one, actually, about how the towers collapsed, and there's another tower, Building 7, that like mysteriously just collapsed, you know, a few hours later on afterwards. But it looked like a controlled explosion, you know. Ooh, spooky. Mm. Yeah, it's fascinating, though. We'll move on to resources. I found a TED talk playlist on, it's called The Truth About Lying. It's 6 talks, TED talks, which are worth dipping in and out of. How to Spot a Liar, The Future of Lying, Can you really tell if a kid is lying? Which is interesting because at some point in our lives, we kind of pick up these tricks. And I've got two little boys that are pretty good at it downstairs, kind of just twisting the truth slightly to get what they want. So check that out if you can. What's your result, Sean?
Mine is it's a mindfulness site. I'll put the link up. And it's got 7 signs that you're living your truth, which is quite interesting, the different ways they look at it. But it is a lot about that idea about feeling that you're okay within yourself. You don't need external validation. You know, you feel balanced, you feel okay, and you're being all right about who you are. I mean, think of all the people that need other people to go, don't worry, you're okay, fine. You know, they need to big it up and get all the applause because they're not living their authentic self. They need other people to tell them they're okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you get into this whole idea of truth, lies, honesty, dishonesty, it's almost as though human behavior is built on dishonesty.
Mm.
And we keep trying to kind of avoid being honest with ourselves and with other people. You know, it's a strange thing when you get into it, but you know, everybody listening to this should have a look, listen to people.
Do.
Are they telling the truth?
We can but try to be authentic, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. You happy?
I'm always happy. And that's the truth.
Rubbish.
Yeah. I'm happy most of the time.
Yeah. I've seen you seething with rage and anger and loads all the time.
No.
Yeah. I used to come storming into my office. You wouldn't believe the morning I've had it. Does my bum look big in this head? Yeah. Okay, we're back for more next week, Sean. You take care till then.
And you be happy.
See you on the other side. See ya, folks. See ya.